I mean, Jimmy's already in mid-season mode. What are we, 4 hours away from kickoff?
4 hours, Hawk.
Where's the, what's the stadium called there in Washington?
Is it FedEx?
FedEx Field?
FedEx Field?
FedEx Field, I think.
I think they changed it, though. They're playing at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland.
Northwest Stadium?
Yeah.
This is the first Stadium. Season that it's called Northwest Stadium?
man, you are stumping me on these.
That's what I do.
It was Commander's Field in 2024, and it's been Northwest Stadium since last season.
I do not recall that. All right. Well, tonight, just 4 hours from now, Dolphins preseason game number one. We've got another pair of Rob Zombie Marilyn Manson tickets. They're coming to I Think Financial Amphitheater August 20th. We will give away those tickets at 4:40 this afternoon. So I told you, Crowder and Solana, yes.
I just did a little research on this Fernando Mendoza.
Okay.
The national championship game, he was 16 for 27, 59%, 186, 6.9 average completion. That's not impressive.
No, statistically, it's not.
The semifinal game, he was the same percentage at 177 against Oregon. And the quarterfinal game, he was 192 against Alabama with the same percentages. He does not blow up a stat sheet. He is not Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees or anybody of that ilk, Matt Stafford. He's not that. He's a game manager that people are amping up, and I don't believe in him.
He's not got gaudy stats. You're correct.
Nope, he doesn't. But I think he was the first quarterback to win the Heisman under 3,000 yards in like 20-something years. To but throw for under 3,000 yards.
That national championship game, because what did you say it was? 16 of 29?
16 of 27.
16 of 27. He was 1 for 1, though, with fire in his eyes.
What fire in his eyes? Stat Hawk. I don't know the stat of fire
that's
in
the
his
score
eyes.
That he yeah. needed. The one score that he needed. That's the he was 1 of 1, fire in his eyes.
Yeah.
He's not, listen, they're amping this young man up, and I don't want to hate on him, but I'm just being realistic.
Well, which quarterbacks came out this season? Mendoza. Who else? Beck.
Carson Beck in the third round. Fernando Mendoza. Ty Simpson out of Alabama. He went to the Rams. He'll be Stafford's backup.
Yeah.
And then I think Beck was the next QB off the board. Drew Aller was also the third round selection by the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Penn State.
Who do you think has the best NFL career out of the quarterbacks who came out this draft?
I would bet on Ty Simpson just because it's a wild card. Because I know what Fernando Mendoza is. Like next year, this year coming up, they got some Mensa and what is the boy in Oregon? Dante Moore. And they have some quarterbacks coming out this year. Last year was a down quarterback year.
You're 0 for 2 on this because you mentioned Simpson before Beck. The correct answer was Beck is going to have the best NFL career out of all those quarterbacks.
How did he get passed twice by everyone?
Mr. 305.
Dolly.
Tom Brady.
Dolly. I bless you. Dolly.
By each team 5 times almost.
Dolly.
That's a hell of a point.
Thank you, Bedbug.
You're welcome.
305, sponsored by Miami Lakes Chevrolet, where you walk in as a customer and drive out as family. So I'm not proud of this, but I am betting tonight's Dolphins game. And I'm going to tell you why. Lori's out of town, so I've already bought a cash pop ticket today. I'm jonesing for action. So I thought to myself, maybe I'll bet tonight's game. Make a little... I was going to go get a sandwich. Then I was like, hey, you know what? I'll just have an Uncrustable. It's preseason. But I'm going to fire up an Uncrustable. But I'm betting tonight's game. I do have a bonus bet on the Hard Rock Bet app where, not a bonus bet, a $100 matching bet. So you bet $100. If you lose, you get $100 worth of bonus bets back. I don't know if it's one $100 bet or $520s or whatever. So I'm going to bet $100 tonight. So handicap this for me. Because there's no player props. There's no nothing. You can only bet on totals, first half. You know, you can bet the... So give me something. I am betting this game. Here's my only parameter. Yeah. I don't want to have to watch the second half. But if you think that's the best play, then I'll ride with you. The line right now is 3.5 when I first looked. Yeah, 3.5. So Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites for the game. Let's see, for the first half. There is no spread right now. It's locked. No spread on the first half. So right now, it is, here's your available bets. Dolphins minus 3.5 for the game. Over-under for the game, 36.5. And over-under for the first half, 19.5.
Ooh, over first half.
Over 19.5 first half.
If you press me, I have to bet one of those bets. I would bet. Yeah, yeah. Come out. They don't know what offense we're running. We really don't know what they're running. We don't know who's in the game, but you can sneak up on somebody.
Well, River Craycraft is on the Commanders.
What?
So I kind of know who's in the game, and I kind of know what to expect once River Craycraft is on the field looking for his revenge game against the Dolphins. Just throwing it out there.
Do we know who's playing quarterback for the Commanders?
Marcus Mariota is their backup. I don't know who's starting. My guess is Jaden Daniels will not be starting.
No chance.
But I also don't know if Marcus Mariota will start for them.
I bet he plays a series or two.
Yeah, so their third-string quarterback is a guy named Ethan Kaliakmanis, who I had never heard of. Out of Rutgers, I had never AK. Heard of him.
Ooh, yeah, that makes AK, you think.
AK-47.
You still thinking over in the first half?
No, never mind. I didn't know Kaliakmanis was playing.
Who is it for the Dolphins? It'll be Malik, then yeah. Quinn Ewers for the rest of the first half, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and then our third string quarterback, the only other rostered quarterback is Cam Miller.
All right.
Who's that?
That's our third string quarterback.
He played at North Dakota State.
Oh, that's where old boy played at.
Oh, that's right. Old boy had a season too.
Yeah. Old boy won a Super Bowl, didn't he? Was that Nick Foles? Not Nick Foles, the other tall white guy.
So what do you think? Oh,
the Dolphins have to come out and score a touchdown with Malik Willis in the game.
So that's 7 points.
I don't think Solana likes this assessment.
How do I get to 20 points in the first half is my question.
You guys are expecting a shootout here in the first half, and I'm not. Expecting.
But remember that Arizona game, the Hall of Fame game, which I said I would have bet the under, it was 14-14 in the first half. And I don't think those were two potent offenses.
And Malik Willis has to prove something. Slowick has to prove something, calling plays. Like, the Dolphins have to score 10 points in the first two series.
I think he's right on that. You know what it is, too? Because, like, you can't even – I remember Tua, I think, last season, it was like – They're going to keep him in until they score. They've got to score on that first series because he doesn't want to have to come out for that second series. Like, they can't have the storyline all next week being Malik Willis was unable to score against the third team.
Yep.
Third string in Washington.
I view it so differently. Like, I don't think they care what the storyline is next week. To me, Halfley cares more about his team looking like they're imposing their will, because all he did was preach about physicality. Once these guys put their pads on, we're going to be the more physical team. So to me, it's going to be a lot of handoffs to Jalen Wright or Ollie Gordon, whoever ends up getting those snaps. Like, they're not going to put Malik in a situation where he's throwing the ball 16, 17 times in this game. Like, I bet he throws 8 or 9 passes, nothing fancy, nothing crazy. But just They're running the ball.
Like, no. But just a potent drive down the field. A couple of zips here and there. Devon Achane, bang, bang, if he plays. I don't know if he's going to play. Jalen Wright, boom, boom. And then, boom, you're in the end zone. Ollie Gordon, he's standing there. I mean, you could see that happening in 30 seconds.
So, I agree with you on the approach. I think they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to try to out-physical people. But you also have to get yards. Like, let's run it downhill. It can't be second and nine every time. Like, they have to show that this offense works. Slowick, Halfley has something to prove as coaches, and Malik has something to prove as a starting quarterback. They're going to get in a third and six plus, and Malik's going to have to throw that damn biscuit and get a first down sooner or later, and they have to prove that they have worked on this. They have to score a touchdown with Malik Willis in the game.
They've only got three games to show themselves that they've worked on this and they can drive downfield, and probably just two games, because I don't think you'll see anybody in the third preseason game. So
yeah. And Salon, it's not just for us. I'm talking about for them.
Yeah.
Like, we have to go get a touchdown with our dogs in the game. So it's just the confidence of knowing that our offense works.
All right. I'm betting the first half over, like you originally suggested.
I'm with you. Let me get on my
ass. We're riding together. Look at this.
Yeah.
Ride or die, baby. Jimmy, how many you got on this? Bedbug bets this season. I remember the old Jimmy Garcia. He didn't wager at all. You're Jimmy the bleeping bedbug.
I don't know.
Perfect. I'll put that in and then you sell me that.
So where's the I don't know button?
Oh, I never even zelled you for your parking, did I, for the Marlins game this week?
No.
All right, I'm going to zell you for the parking. Wow. How much did you pay for parking?
$5,000. No, I'm kidding.
Well done, Bedbug.
$20.
$20? I'm going to zell you $20 during this commercial break. I'm going to put $100 on Dolphins Commanders over first half. And I'm going to sell Jimmy $20. All right, let's get a quick look at the headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVW.com.
Hey, Crowder, going back to what you said right at the start of the show, you're disappointed that Dolphins fans are rooting against Tua Tagovailoa.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
I'm not rooting against Tua. I wish him well. I honestly have no ill will towards Tua. Like, he's not the one that signed the check. But I am rooting against another Dolphins player who underachieved with a Dolphins jersey and then goes somewhere else, has a second wind, and exceeds expectations after they leave Miami. So because of that, I kind of am rooting against Tua, but it's not personal against Tua. It's more so I'm sick and tired as a Dolphins fan of having to watch somebody else who couldn't perform while wearing the Dolphin on their helmet, but performing elsewhere after they leave Miami.
But why are you cheering against him? Is that the situation the coaches put him in? Do you think Tua wasn't trying hard here? Why would you hope for another grown man's demise when he can go somewhere else and thrive? Like, that's crazy to me.
I agree. The guy, Tua Tagovailoa, like the person Tua, I wish him well. But the player, I don't want to see him ball somewhere else that wasn't in Miami, but because we could have had that. It's the same thing. I saw it with Wes Welker. How many guys have left Miami and have gone on to have better careers wearing another team's jersey?
You know that wasn't Welker's fault. With Tua, you're like, who's like, who's to blame
but
here?
Was
Welker.
It Tua's it's Tua's fault that if he gets hit in the back of the head, his hands curl up?
It's not my fault. It's either my fault or someone else's fault. But in that case, it's not my fault.
But just wishing for some, even I was, when JT went to the Jets, there were people saying, I hope he doesn't succeed.
Yeah.
Like the Jets offered him 7 times more money than the Dolphins. Should you be mad at the Dolphins that JT went to the Jets and not JT?
Oh, no. I rooted against Jason Taylor 100% when he went to the Jets.
That's crazy.
100%. Yeah,
me too. Then he came to University of Miami. I'm back on Team JT.
Yeah.
It's just petty. Very petty to root against a guy's career.
Correct.
You shouldn't embrace that.
You're rooting against Fernando Mendoza.
I'm not rooting. I don't believe in him.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I don't believe in him.
If I gave you a choice right now, Fernando Mendoza, it's all up to you. He can have a great Pro Bowl season. You get to decide. He gets to have a great, you're omnipotent. He gets to have a great Pro Bowl season, or he has a, who is the guy who would throw all those interceptions all the time?
Gino Toretta.
Jamarcus Russell.
No, who's the guy that kept getting assigned from team to team?
Oh, Nate? Oh, man, he threw five interceptions in a game. That's what he's talking about?
Yeah.
Man, I can see his face.
Why can't I think of the guy's name?
White dude?
Yeah.
White, Fernando little bitty white dude.
What the heck is the guy's name? Someone put it on the chat.
I know who you're talking about.
Who did he play for?
Like 18 teams.
Was it Buffalo? I know he played for Buffalo. Nick something, Nate something. His first name starts with an N.
Why have I totally blanked on his name? Someone knows. I'm just waiting for it to come on the chat.
If I can control.
Who is it, Jimmy?
Is it Nathan Peterman?
Nathan Peterman.
I knew it was an N.
You get to choose. You're omnipotent.
Yes.
So you get to choose. Mendoza has a Pro Bowl season, or he has a Nathan Peterman season.
I would choose that he has a Peyton Manning career.
Lie.
No, I'm not lying.
Lie.
It's the evaluation of it. I'm a big fan. I've had friends that I would love to have a great career. And then you see him practice and you say, yeah, he ain't really that good. Like, he's not going to help us win games. I don't think Nathan Peterman, I'm calling him the right name, actually. I don't think Fernando Mendoza is going to be a dog in the NFL. I've watched too many games.
Somebody texted in Boyle. Who was Boyle? Did he play for the Dolphins? Did we have a quarterback named Boyle once?
Yeah, Tim. He did. Tim Boyle.
That's the boy that threw the ball out of bounds on fourth down. Boy,
Did he ever start a game?
Well, he started against the Dolphins on Black Friday. That was a Javon Holland game.
Right, the interception.
The interception. I don't know if he started a game for Miami.
The only reason I'm thinking is because DJ's got the Know Your History t-shirt, and we don't have Tim Boyle on there. But I don't think he ever started. Did he start a Dolphins game?
I don't know. Was it in Green Bay when he threw the ball out of bounds on fourth and three or something? And I was mad. Seattle.
I was in Seattle. Yeah.
He has not started a game for the Dolphins.
Okay, good.
I was so hot.
Yeah. We waived him that season. We waived him.
Should have.
He came off the bench in week three against Seattle.
That was some season. All right, quick look at the headlines here because we got to take a break. Go ahead, Solana.
I have one headline that I want to read to you guys. So the other day, Pro Football Talk, they had posted this article regarding Troy Aikman. Calls Monday Night Football games. He's a broadcaster. And they noted that Troy Aikman said there wouldn't be a conflict between his work as a broadcaster and what his role is with the Dolphins, like a consultant for the Dolphins, because he noted that the Dolphins are not on Monday Night Football because they're not going to be good this year. So he says, don't worry about it. I'm not calling any of their games. But there has been a follow-up. Troy Aikman is going to face restrictions by the NFL while calling Monday Night Football games because of this role with the Dolphins. He'll attend production meetings remotely and won't be allowed at team practices, which is much like Tom Brady's predicament now as a broadcaster / owner in the NFL.
Hey, Troy, here's your punishment. You don't have to travel anymore with the rest of us. You get to show up on game day.
Man, I wish I was better at football because these guys have...
Imagine, just the time of their lives.
I should have trained. I thought I trained hard, but I didn't train hard enough. What if I could buy a team and then do TV? Like, this Troy and Tom, they have it set.
Be a wrestler. Time of your life.
Yeah. Wish I didn't get arrested.
Tony Romo. I'm starting to think we've seen his last game as a broadcaster on CBS.
They got to pay him out because he got a hell of a contract.
I think he is going to have a hell of a lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
I mean, to take away $100+ million because of a misdemeanor DWI, because when it's your first one in whatever state he was in, it becomes a misdemeanor or something. Like, ooh, that's a lawsuit right there, man.
I watched the video, man. He was banged up.
Oh, he was just, he was in, like, he knew it was a very serious situation, but he was just in such a good buzzed mood that
he couldn't rationalize what's really going on.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I know this is bad, but man, I'm still Tony Romo.
he was banged up, boy. Goodness.
Anything else in the headlines?
The Marlins do play tonight, 6:10 p.m. They're playing in Cincinnati.
That game will be on AM 560, I'm guessing?
AM 560 tonight with Jack McMullen and Steven Strom. Jack McMullen back on the radio broadcast. And Inter Miami does play tomorrow. Big-time game at night. It is a battle of the 1 and 2 seeds in the Eastern Conference. Inter Miami can jump Nashville with a victory on the road tomorrow.
All right.
Your weather...
Oh, no, I just thought about a story. I was talking to the old head of security at the Dolphins. He texted me and we were texting and he told me a story about like the, what was it? The chaplain that does the Sunday morning, you know, the prayers and all for the team and have the little Bible studies. And I forgot the story, but he reminded me that his name was Corwin. He came up to me one day and it was, you know, a Thursday or something. And he had a Thursday morning church service. And he was like, hey, Channing, you were supposed to be here this morning. What happened to Thursday morning? I said, man, bleep, Wednesday night. And Stu thought that was the funniest thing in the world. He still tells that story to this day. I was just being honest with him. He said, hey, you're supposed to be here Thursday morning. I said, man, Wednesday night got a hold of me. It is what it is.
Stu Weinstein?
Stu Weinstein. Man, Stu. Yeah. Stu, he doesn't work with the team, but everybody in the league knows Stu Weinstein. People bring it up when they know I played for the Dolphins, even to this day. Like, we went to Philly and did the Eagles on the Pivot training camp tour. The head of security of the Philadelphia Eagles came up to me, and he was like, did you play when Stu was there? And I said, yeah, I know Stu. He was like, man, Stu got some guys out of some trouble. And I was like, yeah, I'm on the list, brother.
He's like the wolf in Pulp Fiction.
He really was.
Yeah, for real.
If you get pulled over, I don't know now. I know Drew is the guy now, but
well, now
I know him.
Ticket Wizard.
Yeah. I don't know if the Ticket Wizard got to pull a Stu, but I got pulled over sometimes. By the time the police officer got to my window, Stu would have called the head of the captain of whatever city I'm in, and they would say, slow down and let you go. Stu was special.
Right now in South Florida, 90 degrees. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the 80s. This weather report was brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Protect your home before the next storm. Get your free roof and window estimate. Just call 954-968-8155.
All right. Game Day Uncensored, 5 p.m. tonight. Brendan Tobin, Solana, Omar Kelly, Chris Perkins. Get you ready for the game.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Who was that batted in those two runs, Jimmy?
No idea.
All right. Who's up after Sanoha?
No clue.
All right. It's our baseball guy. You know what is exactly 6 months from today?
February. That would be February 14th.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
My wife being upset that I didn't do something from Valentine's Day.
The special Valentine's Day this year. Do you know what it is, Jimmy the Bedbug?
Super Bowl.
That's right.
Super Bowl Sunday is 6 months from today, and it happens to fall on Valentine's Day.
Let's go, Fins.
So that day is going to be Valentine's lunches, right? Or the night before, Saturday night. No one, there's not a single wife or girlfriend who's expecting to be taken out that Sunday night, is there?
Probably would be easier to go to a nice restaurant or do something.
It would be easier, but I mean, you might as well go the next Monday if you want easy. Like, it's the Super, you'd miss the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, for sports fans? Yeah.
No, for anyone, Americans.
No, Hawk. I have business partners that have no concern with football.
The Super Bowl, though.
They don't care. Like, I have a bunch of people I talk to that they don't, like, the Dolphins are coming back or
the Super
winning.
Bowl, not the Dolphins, the Super Bowl.
I have a business partner that would, if you say Patrick Mahomes, he would look at you like you're crazy and he would think he's an investor.
I bet he watches the Super Bowl.
No.
No.
Hawk, I feel like I'm the perfect person to interject on this. Crowder, my fiance, my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, she doesn't know who Dwayne Wade is.
She watches the Super Bowl.
She doesn't.
No,
and Hawk, my fiance had never watched a Super Bowl before me. And this past year, only looked at the TV during the halftime show for Bad Bunny. Every year prior to that, she didn't understand why I was leaving the house to go watch the Super Bowl somewhere, and she never came with me once to a Super Bowl party.
I remember her tweeting about the weekend's Super Bowl halftime show. I remember her talking vividly about Maroon 5 when they were the halftime show. Yeah,
you don't live with South Americans, bro. I'm telling you, like it is a different world.
World. But I mean, we're not that interested in the World Cup, but we watch it. Everybody watches the Super Bowl.
No, they don't. I just looked it up. There's a 342.6 million people in America.
Mm-hmm.
The viewership last year, the Super Bowl was 125 million. Less than half of America watches the Super Bowl.
Ratings can't be trusted. We know that.
Hawk, you don't understand. I know it because to Solana's point, Asia, like she'll be like, is there football tonight? I'm like, yeah, it's Thursday night football.
But Thursday
is there football tonight? Yeah, it's Monday. Bowl. Yeah. No, Hawk.
You're telling me that if you said to Asia 6 months from now, Super Bowl Sunday, hey, by the way, I got us reservations at Prime Italian tonight. She wouldn't say to you, no, the Super Bowl's on tonight.
She would be elate.
Lie.
That I can ignore the Super Bowl for her.
Lie. Elated, by the way.
Elated.
Sorry. It's not, Huck, you can't be myopic with this thought. People, just like you brought up the World Cup, there's
myopic.
People that don't
it's
give a damn about soccer.
One of every three people, according to your numbers, one of every three people is watching the Super Bowl.
And you're terrible with math, so that's not one of every
you
three. It's
125
less than
million out of 375 million.
350, so that's half. Half of the United States is not worried about the Super Bowl.
That's not half. I said one of every three people is watching the Super Bowl.
347.
Well, 125 plus 125 is 250. And then you add another 125 to it, you're at 375. One of every three people is watching the Super Bowl.
And those other people, they have no concern with what NFL team wins it. And my wife is one of them. She
does
not care.
I don't think a lot of people are concerned with who wins it. You're conflating the argument. I'm telling you, Asia Crowder. If you said to her 6 months from now, I got reservations 8 p.m. this coming Sunday night for Valentine's Day, she would say, are you crazy? It's the Super Bowl.
We go to the Super Bowl. I shoot the pivot from the Super Bowl year after year. She has no concern with the game and how it plays out.
I'm not worried about the game or how it plays out. I am telling you, people congregate around their televisions
on
Super Bowl. Yes, they do. It's the biggest television watched event.
You're telling me my wife of 15 years, she cares how she wants to watch whoever's in the Super Bowl. She does not give a damn about
she
that
game.
She
wants to be in front of the TV on Super
she
Bowl.
She does
Sunday.
Not
yes.
want to be in front yes, of that. Does. She Absolutely. Doesn't care 100%. What happens. She does 100%. Not want to watch a pass, not want to watch a tackle, not
want
to watch
anything. She
wants
to be watching the game like
no,
the rest
she doesn't.
Of America.
She
yes,
doesn't
does.
Want to watch Maxion. Maxion and the
but
Super Bowl are the
comparing,
same to her.
No,
Hawk,
no,
they're the same
no,
to a Asia Crowder. No, no. Maxion on Tuesday night is the same as the Super Bowl to her. Mm-hmm. She has no concern for
is
it.
Is she there? Go get her. Is she there? She home?
No, she went to take Ava to basketball.
I'm going to show you that I know your wife better than you do.
That would be fighting words if I didn't, if we weren't friends.
But you're going to find out that I know her better than you do.
She has no concern for the Super Bowl.
I believe Crowder. I believe no. If Crowder made reservations to Prime 112 on Super Bowl Sunday that week, Asia would get in the car with Crowder. They'd drive to Prime 112. Nope. They'd sit down. And at one point, she'd look up at the TV and be like, oh, it's the Super Bowl. You'd be like, nope. Yeah, but who cares?
What do you think? She's living under a rock that Super Bowl Sunday comes around and she doesn't know it's Super Bowl Sunday?
She would know who's performing at halftime and
That's what I'm talking about. You're hung up on the game. I'm not saying that she's interested in the game. I'm saying she's interested in the event.
She's not.
Yes, she is.
How?
I met my wife in 2009. We got married in 2011. You're telling me that you know my wife better than I know my wife.
Correct. She hates that you eat that cotton candy. You disgust
her. You know what? She does hate my candy drawer because it's so loud. Y'all know I eat loud.
Of course. Yeah, we heard it at the beginning of this segment. What were you eating at the beginning of this segment?
Dr. Pepper cotton candy.
Hawk, you're off on this one, man. I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you, my fiance, Valentina, could literally go the rest of her life without ever watching a Super Bowl, without caring about a Super Bowl.
Incorrect.
Without, every year, it's like a fight with her of why I need to go watch this game and why I need to pay attention to this game and why we're doing something for this game. And she still doesn't get it. Eight years.
She's playing into your machismo fantasies, you pretending about? Like you're the man who... Asia's not doing that for you, Crowder. But for Valentina, she's playing into Solana's wannabe machismo fantasy. She's like, oh, what do you mean you have to go watch football? But in the meantime, she wants to watch the Super Bowl. Trust
me. She didn't watch a snap of the game last year. I mean, I'm talking about did not watch a snap of the game last year. And when Bad Bunny was on, I went into another room to get her and be like, hey, the halftime show is starting. She came, she sat, she watched the halftime show. And then the second it was over, she walked back into another room with her laptop to continue doing whatever it is she was doing.
Because she was watching with her fantasy lineup.
When the Heat, what game did I go to? Game 5 of Nuggets Heat in the finals years ago?
Game 4.
Asia was amazed by like how many, like she was like, oh, it's a bunch of celebrities here. Like we're just, she does not care about sports.
No. Yes.
You got to understand there are okay, Hawk, I'll go with your numbers. There are one out of three people in this nation that does not give a damn about sports at all.
Two out of three people.
And my wife's one of them.
One out of every three people are watching the Super Bowl, but I would argue two out of every three are not watching the Super Bowl.
They don't care.
They don't.
I would argue three out of four people on this show don't care about sports at all.
I like football.
Agreed.
Jimmy, the bed bug, is the only one who does. Yeah. All right, we've got to take a break. I hope we're doing a good job getting you ready for Dolphins preseason game one.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
I notice you guys don't listen to me very much.
What's that?
What'd you say again?
What's your level of interest tonight? If I had you rank them 1, 2, 3. You have to rank it 1, 2, 3, most interested to least interested tonight. Is it Malik Willis's performance, Tua Tagovailoa's performance, and Ruben Bain's performance? All three will be in action tonight. Which is the most interesting to you? Rank them 1, 2, 3.
Malik is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You have no interest in Tua, huh? That like you've ejected on that story.
What do we care about? Why are we cared about Tua? Who gives a damn? He's on another team.
I am fascinated by, does he have a successful second act? I'm interested in Kyler Murray, same thing. But Tua, for me, I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that guy. I was a Tua stan. Like, I'd like to see him do well. I'd like to see some sort of vindication come my way so I can blame it on someone like Mike McDaniel.
I like the thought, Hawk, but being a Dolphin and a Bucs fan, as you know, being a former Dolphin and a Bucs fan, Malik is 1 through 10. Reuben Baines' dominance, which I think is going to be dominant, is 11 through 15. And Tua is he's probably 83rd on what I'm going to look at tonight. I don't care what Tua does. He's not a part of any team I follow.
Do any of those quarterback storylines that we've talked about the last couple of weeks intrigue you this season? Like Kyler Murray, obviously, to me, kind of same kind of situation that Tua was in, right? Like they're getting a chance when it just didn't work out with their original team for whatever reason. Very successful in college, both of them. Very high expectations coming into the league. I'm interested in the Raiders situation. At what point does Kirk Cousins get moved from the starting quarterback to the backup? Like, there's a bunch of, to me, interesting, compelling storylines. Do any of the quarterback storylines have more meaning to you than the others?
The Baker Mayfield, I think, is very interesting.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I just like what's going on and him being unhappy and everything going on there. And the Joe Burrow thing.
Oh, another good one.
Because, like, Joe Burrow does not have a Super Bowl yet. And you know he's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. And so just seeing, you know, saying different teams, if they get rid of Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow can go somewhere and be special.
Joe Burrow's a great storyline. I'm in on that one.
Yeah, I'm in on Joe Burrow. I'm in on Baker Mayfield. I'm in on Jaden Daniels because I know him, his mom. I know his family. But the Malik Willis thing being down here, like being a quarterback has been in the league as long as Malik has and having 6 starts. What are you really going to do? Because there's been 2 teams, Tennessee and Green Bay, that told you you're not good enough to start. And now the Dolphins are telling you you're good enough to start. Like that's a very interesting storyline with Malik Willis.
Which one for you, Solana, tonight? Reuben Bain, Malik Willis, or Tua?
Malik 1, Tua 2, because of the weapons, and he has to perform well in preseason, because if not, if Michael Penix somehow is healthy week 1, they'll go to Penix. I'm not as interested in Reuben Bain in preseason because it's preseason. It's different for pass rushers and defensive linemen. He's going to have a great career. I'm not worried about
Joe Burrow.
Bain.
Speaking of that, did I see Joe Burrow got sacked on his first drop back last night? I think Joe Burrow. I think I saw that. I think Joe Burrow got sacked preseason game 1 first drop back.
Yeah, we got an old line down here. We're building.
The QB storylines you didn't mention. Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, Shedeur Sanders. Like, good luck to Todd Monken.
Oh, that is a
trying to figure
great
that out
storyline.
Daniel Jones in Indianapolis.
Oh, that's a good one too.
He was as good as anybody last year, went down with another major injury. Can he bounce back and be an elite quarterback again after we had all written him off before last season? And then the other one that I feel like nobody is talking about is San Francisco and Brock Purdy. Hmm. Cute little first year in San Francisco. Great job making the Super Bowl.
Never really.
You're good, but every
year since
then. You've
been injured too, right?
Every year since then, he's been injured. And the Niners, to me, like, this is one of those years where if they don't compete again, you can't just keep saying, well, we were injured, we'll be fine next year.
All right. 4 o'clock hour is coming up. We've got 1 more hour to go, and we'll give away those Marilyn Manson Rob Zombie tickets in the 4 o'clock hour, 4:40 to be exact. And then at 5 o'clock, we will hand things over to Brendan Tobin, Alejandro Solana. They'll be joined by Omar Kelly and Chris Perkins, and they'll give you a little 2-hour preseason episode of Game Day Uncensored. Get you ready for tonight's game. So don't go anywhere. 4 o'clock hour is coming up.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
I want Hawk to bathe me.